Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Always a great show for you here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth, and we are happy to bring you another encore show this time around. Michael Dunn, CEO of Profit, challenges the traditional thinking behind marketing accountability. Marketing accountability, that's a good thing, right? Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age magazine. Visit online at adage.com, The Advertising Show. A copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production being powered by Shipple. Shipple is an incredible marketing company. It's a web marketing company that is behind The Advertising Show and been with us now for several years. Check it out. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com, Shipple.com. They're great folks. Ready for Michael Dunn? Well, here he is.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
And then, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated cheese.
Welcome back, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. The Advertising Show, and as promised, a very special guest this weekend. He's in San Francisco, or may not be, I guess, I don't know. But Michael Dunn is chairman and CEO of the global consultancy Profit. It's Profit.com. Profit helps Fortune 500 clients and their senior executives more effectively use branding, marketing, design, and innovation to drive profitable growth. So, with that said, Michael, it is a pleasure to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome.
Very glad to be here. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
Well, Michael, Ray and I were talking before the show, and we were wondering, do you charge by the pound for this book, or is it by the page? Because either way, you're cashing in.
We're not cashing in. I don't. You could not feed a family of four for 2 days on a book deal. So. But there's definitely a lot of content in the book. So.
Yes, there is. And Ray and I were both commenting. We have a lot of requests from authors to be on the program from publicists and PR executives, and we do not let them on the show unless we feel their book is worthy. And yours certainly fits the bill. Published on Wiley, and both Ray and I highly recommend the Marketing Accountability Imperative. You're quoted as saying, Michael, the ultimate goal of marketing accountability is not to improve the rigor of ROI measurement, which caught me a bit off guard because it seems like today everyone's all about ROI. But you're saying that it's all about more efficient marketing and two phrases I find that don't normally come together, and that is to both make the cash register ring and build the brand. Usually it's we want to build the brand, let's not measure what we're doing, or let's make the cash register ring and deal with the brand later. Give us a sense of put that into words for us, and let's hear your philosophy.
Yeah, I mean, I think marketing accountability, this is like it's been on the agenda for 30 years, right? It's like this is not a new topic. But I think most of the energy and the heat over the last decade has been almost like overly metrics obsessed. It's been all about measurement and metrics, and we need to get better analytics in place. And so, you know, what's happened is instead of actually making sure that the teams are asking the right questions and measuring the right kinds of things, what a lot of organizations have done has just inundated their executive peers, the finance group, and what have you, with like thousands and thousands of metrics. And nobody really understands, in a lot of ways, how to interpret them. There are conflicting points of view in terms of how we should use them and apply them in decision making. And so it hasn't really helped solve the basic fundamental problem, which is, you know, CEOs and the executive teams want to understand, if I'm going to put $100 million into marketing this year, what kind of benefit is that going to drive for the business? And we believe that marketing can drive two kinds of benefit, right? It could be focused on driving the cash register this period. We call that like a sales response type of benefit, or you know, this quarter or next quarter, or it could be trying to drive what we talk about as a deferred revenue impact. So, you know, it's about creating a set of perceptions or attitudes or beliefs that will eventually help you ring the cash register, but it might not be until, you know, the year next year or the year after. But, you know, we think a commitment to marketing accountability is being able to clearly articulate, you know, what kind of benefit or what kind of response, a sales response or a deferred revenue response or an equity response, that investment is intended to drive, and getting people comfortable that you understand how that's supposed to happen over time.
So deferred revenue impact, is that code for brand?
Some people call it brand equity and equity impact. Some people might call it a customer equity impact. It kind of depends, but
mm-hmm.
yeah. But it's a little bit about, you know, you're banking some, you're trying to create some set of perceptions, attitudes, beliefs that form a reservoir that you'll draw down from in some future period. And again, hopefully over time, convert that equity into sales.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how often when you're with clients that have a new budget, a new criteria, new objectives, how often do you sit with them during that initial meeting and have to either manage or maybe totally reinterpret their expectations of what their goals are to do, expectations with their budgets versus what you feel are maybe a new or different way of looking at it, and more importantly, a new way of gauging the effectiveness of what expectations could be with that budget.
Right. I mean, in terms of their, either they're pointing, they're overly ambitious in terms of what they can achieve with the spending, or maybe they're thinking that all the spending is supposed to solve this problem, problem A, but it should really be focused in a different place.
Yeah, I'm thinking that in some cases, client expectations and what really a marketing budget can do is out of whack with reality.
Right. In a lot of ways it is, and part of what we try and help the clients do is get very specific about what they're spending, you know, however they've envisioned spending this money, say their first pass at the budget. Like, how does their spending or their intended spending tie to have a clear line of sight to kind of the business objectives? And so, what are we supposed to be doing? Are we trying to change people's perceptions? Are we trying to change their incentives to buy? Are we trying to change their access to the product? You know, what kind of behavior are we targeting? Are we trying to get them to, you know, purchase again or purchase more or purchase a higher ticket item or, so what's the behavior? And then how does that behavior affect our P&L inside the business? And a lot of times people don't even have the basic linkages between what's the marketing objective, you know, what's the behavior, the value-creating behavior that an individual customer, consumer could take, you know, in response to this marketing program, and then how does that impact the P&L? And sometimes you could 75 or 80% of their intended spend has no line of sight to any of those things, right? And so it's a little bit about backing it up and saying, okay, you know, why do you believe this is where you should be investing? Kind of explain the thinking or the rationale and try and connect it into what everyone understands the business's priorities are, and make sure that the marketing priorities aren't pointed in this direction, whereas the business priorities are pointed in a different direction.
And on that note, we're going to take a break here. The book is called The Marketing Accountability Imperative, and our special guest out of actually, he lives in Chicago, but Michael Dunn is our special guest here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shullins and Brad Forsythe. Just a moment, we'll continue.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Do you know exactly how to read an Oreo? Well, to do it, you unscrew it.
And it's all about the marketing accountability imperative. Guest author is Michael Dunn. Michael, welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Thanks.
Yeah, and wrapping up last segment, I guess the struggles and challenges in dealing with clients, fortunately for you and your company, you have those. And if they were all doing the right thing, I guess, Michael, you and everybody else would be looking for a new line of work. Let's give a little sense, our audience, of what's going on within your book. I think it's, a very well-written book. Reads very textbook-like, I might add, and it has a lot of backup and a lot of to my way of thinking, a lot of credibility in the claims and advice that it makes, which not all business books do. In your book, you discuss six critical value levers that must be pulled when achieving accountable marketing. Excuse me. Discuss with our audience, if you would, the impact of each of these and kind of take us through it, starting with strategy.
Yeah, no problem, though. Thanks a lot. A lot of times a CEO or someone will ask, like, look, I've been spending $500 million a year, and I'm not sure I'm getting anything for it. And so, you know, is my investment effective? Is it driving returns? And so when you're trying to understand that, we say, look, there's six value levers that, in a sense, your marketing team kind of pulls, places where you can either create value for the investments or you could make bad decisions and destroy value for the investments. So the first is the strategy lever, which is about, which customers should we be targeting with what kind of messages or benefits, right? Are we going to be about convenience? Are we going to be about low price position? Are we going to be about quality? Like, how do you make the choices around what target? Who's our most attractive target? And what benefit can we both credibly and relevantly deliver through the marketing? And so those are the kinds of decisions that get made at the strategy lever. And then, you jump from strategy lever to the content lever, which says, okay, so I understand I want to be about convenience or quality or what have you. So, but how does I take that strategic foundation and turn it into compelling content or compelling creative ideas? So, with Staples, for example, okay, they understood they wanted to be about hassle-free shopping. That was the strategic positioning. But then how do you take hassle-free shopping into something like the Easy Button? And, kind of now they're 8 years into the Easy campaign. And so those are the kinds of decisions that get made at the content lever. And so really, at those two levels, at strategy and content lever, that's really where, you can dramatically improve the return on the investment. You can have like 10x, 20x stuff, campaigns or programs that are around, have a great strategic foundation and around great content. They can really drive disproportionate returns from the marketing.
Your last the investment levels in market execution and field cost management are all important considerations. You also have marketing vehicles that I think used to be called media, and in today's world it's not just that simple, is it?
No, I mean the marketing vehicles is, and again, if you're a B2B company or that goes to market through a sales force or a channel, the kinds of levers that you might pull around marketing, like events or sponsorships or thought leadership, are dramatically different than if you're a Procter and Gamble and you traditionally gone to market primarily through measured media. But what we're trying to do with the vehicles is say, kind of where is your audience? And are you trying to deliver the right content to them kind of in the right places where they expect to see it? And so part of it's traditional media, TV, outdoor, print, newspaper, but obviously with a lot of the kind of innovation around direct and now all the innovation around the internet and viral and social media and even mobile marketing, you've seen an acceleration almost of the kinds of vehicles or formats you could invest behind.
In the minute that we have left in this segment, economic challenges, we're dealing with those today. What are your thoughts on clients and budget contractions that may be experienced nowadays?
I mean, there's some fascinating studies that have shown that people, over time, for brands that have been able to kind of maintain their spend and increase their, their share of spend or their share of voice during the down cycles, the amount of growth that they've seen has been demonstrable on the uptick, kind of 5 years of above competitive growth rates and what have you. So, where our clients have the balance sheets to do it, we are encouraging them to continue to invest behind the right kinds of products and brand ideas.
Back in just a moment with Michael Dunn. More with Michael. Michael is the chairman and CEO of the global consultancy firm Profit at Profit.com. But we're talking about a book today as well. It's called The Marketing Accountability Imperative, and we'll be back in just a minute with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here on The Advertising Show.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
The book is offered as something that provides clear answers and a blueprint for ongoing success. Well, I can't imagine a better reason to read it or to pick it up, right? So the Marketing Accountability Imperative, it's called. And Michael Dunn is the author of that book. Michael, it's great to have you here on The Advertising Show. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, Michael, let's talk a little bit about the empowered CMO. For so many years, the CMO was nothing more than the fall guy when business was a bit off. Today, we find that when we talk to C-level executives with successful companies, the CEO is hands-on and involved in marketing and advertising and branding, and the CMO reports directly to the CEO, and it's a partnership, if you will, as opposed to the old days of CMO being the scapegoat. Talk a little bit about that, Michael.
No, it's great. It's a fascinating trend. I mean, I think it partially dates back to actually back at the turn of the last down cycle when organic growth became all the rage again, right? It's like, okay, acquisitive growth, it serves its purpose, but it's not always, it's less, it doesn't always consistently create shareholder value. 80% of the times, they don't. And so you started to get some kind of leading lights like Lafley at Procter and Amelt over at GE start to talk about the power and the benefit of organic growth. And when a lot of CEOs and companies started to look inside and say, okay, well, do we have the capabilities and the mindset to start to drive organic growth? Often, more often than not, they would still come back to, the idea that they were in deficit and around some of these capabilities, and where's the natural place to house some of these capabilities? Well, it's kind of marketing, right? Where do we get the kinds of customer insights that allow us to come up with new product and new service ideas, change our operational, the customer experience or our operating platform or our distribution channels to go after growth? And how, in a smart way, do we layer communications and promotional investment on top of that to drive it? And so, as you started to see more CEOs kind of looking for that in the business, it started to create opportunities for the right kind of people to step into a chief marketing officer role, much more like a general manager with marketing skills or kind of a P&L owner with marketing skills, as opposed to an advertising person or a PR person that's kind of stepping up into an executive role but still mainly thinks about the communications, not the whole business. And, across lots of different sectors and a lot of different categories globally, you've seen a lot of really interesting, interesting opportunities for those kinds of marketers and really great kind of collaborations between the CMO or the CEO and these empowered CMOs.
Before we wrap up this segment, and I want to leave our listeners with you sharing the top one or two takeaways from your book. Your book, you lay out a few landmines when it comes to achieving marketing accountability. I thought it might be good to touch on a few of those, if you would, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of tactical landmines. There are some strategic landmines, and there are some tactical landmines, right? You have to tackle some of the basic issues around, whether marketing is responsible for your base volume of sales or your incremental sales. You have to tackle some issues around kind of measurement. You have to tackle some issues usually around data, because a lot of the advances around kind of marketing measurement, marketing science rely on a pretty good data set around sales data, volume data, by channel, and what have you. And depending on the business type, they don't always have great data. So, I think it's important before you get too far in and sell the promise of marketing accountability too aggressively to the CEO, it's a good sense to understand what landmines are going to be relevant for your company and how you might get in front of them.
Well, to ask for just one or two key concepts from the book, I know is not fair, because it's a wonderful read and it's full of great advice and wisdom for today's world. Any key phrase or thought you want to leave with our audience today?
No, I mean, so I think the important thing is that it's you've heard a lot of people talk about how you know, analytics and data and quantitative stuff is getting more important as it relates to marketing. But I mean, I think our big finding is that, you know, kind of marketing, excellent marketing that continues to drive value year over year, gets generated by organizations that have a great capacity to think strategically, you know, drive excellent, drive excellence through their creativity and the creative process, execute really powerfully, and then have a discipline around analytics and measurement so that they understand kind of what works, what doesn't, and they know how to flow that back up into the strategy and creative process.
And if you want to find out more about this, go get the book. It's The Marketing Accountability Imperative. Michael Dunn is the author of that book. Michael, it's been a pleasure. Sell lots of books and make lots of people famous and rich, all right?
Thanks so much, guys.
Okay. On the Advertising Show, Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth. And we hope you've enjoyed this encore edition of The Advertising Show with our special guest, Michael Dunn. Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production. And we will talk to you again soon.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.